This is budget season, the first budget being submitted by President Obama due any moment now. We should be hearing more about it momentarily. Maya McGinnis is President of Committee for a Responsible Budget and Director of Fiscal Policy at the New America Foundation. And she was present at the big summit that the White House hosted yesterday talking about the budget. It was a pretty star power type event yesterday, Maya, and thank you for talking about it with me today.
Oh, sure. Happy to join you.
What was the genesis of this event? Why do you think, why did the White House put this together? Because it's something, I mean, I've been following this kind of thing in Washington for a long time, and I've never seen a gathering of so many leaders from Capitol Hill, thinkers like yourself, experts from all over the place.
Well, the Obama administration, since they've gotten into office, and really, I guess, before, since they got handed such a heavy load, have been really trying to marry these two issues that I think need to be put together. One, the tanking economy, and two, fiscal responsibility. So we have so much we have to handle right now with stimulus and help for the banking sector and help for the housing sector. All of this, of course, costing amounts of money we had barely even been able to imagine before, trillions of dollars. And at the same time, that's making the fiscal situation, which was already bad before this, so much worse. So suddenly our debt is starting to be growing at levels that really you have to worry if the next economic crisis will be a fiscal one. So the Obama administration has been saying, you know, there's two parts to a full-fledged recovery, stabilizing the economy and drawing down the debt.
I thought that was an interesting marriage of topics yesterday, too, because if you look at them just superficially, it would seem that the budget deficit and the current situation that we're in are kind of at odds, and I thought it was interesting the way the administration was able to kind of pair them up and say by fixing one, we will also be able to work on the other.
Right, and it's really important because you can see people who don't want to be fiscally responsible and who really wants to when you realize that it just means raising taxes and cutting spending. It's not that fun, even though it's critically important. People saying, what are you talking about? We just spent $1 trillion on banks, and now you want us to cut our favorite programs or raise our taxes. How's that fair? So it's really important to kind of explain the link of this, that you have to do both of them in order to put us back on a strong economic path. The purpose of the summit, of course, was we've been so focused on stimulus and banks and housing. Don't forget the other piece. Congress actually isn't able to say we passed an $800 billion stimulus. That's the hard work when really the hard work is yet to begin. And so President Obama brought together, like you said, it was really quite a star-studded gathering of officials, mainly from Capitol Hill and some outside groups, to really roll their sleeves up and start talking about and doing a little bit of work on these issues and what round two, the fiscal responsibility round, will really involve.
I must say I got a little bit of a chuckle when the president called on the various chairs and ranking members of some of the money committees in Congress because as I think, and I'm not talking about any particular side of the aisle either, it goes both ways, as I think back over the last 10 to 15 years, the chairs and ranking members that stood up and congratulated the president, thanks for calling the summit, we're glad you're paying attention to this issue. it just struck me as kind of funny that they would be thanking him for calling attention to this issue when they've actually been at it longer than he has.
Yeah, it's true, except as somebody who's been working on it for quite a while, the past years there's been a lot of griping of we need to do this, we need to fix Social Security, or even though there's a no new tax pledge, we need to actually raise taxes, and certainly, most importantly, we need to tackle growing health care costs. But the congressmen and the senators always say, we can't do it without presidential leadership. When something is hard, it has to be put on the agenda either by a national emergency or presidential leadership. Right now we kind of have both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the politicians really worry that are aware that unless this comes from the White House, it's not going to happen. So there was an appreciation that with all that's going on, and this is a busy time for folks in the White House, that they stopped and did put together this summit. Now some people grumbled that it should have been longer and an invitation should have gone out earlier. These guys are really working with a lot right now, and I think it's very telling that they chose to do it and chose to do it this week. You know, today the president addresses the country in his sort of State of the Union-like speech.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they did the summit yesterday is really quite an important signal.
I wonder if maybe the fact that the president is willing to take point on a lot of these things gives some of the members of Congress a little bit of an out, too, to say, well, we really like to keep doing things for our state or our district the way we've been doing it, but we're trying to support the president.
It has to. I mean, when a politician goes back to his constituents and say, I can't bring home the pork right now,
yeah.
I might have some policies that seem tough, the cover of it's for the good of the country is critically important. You can't have a senator saying, I'm going to be fiscally responsible all by myself, while all the other guys are getting earmarks and slashing taxes and, you know, expanding entitlement programs. It just doesn't work. It's an all-or-nothing game, and those have to start from the top. So what's really a good lesson here is the power of just the president gathering people together. The optics of that are very important and send a strong, clear message.
As somebody whose business it is to follow the government, as it is your business, what are you expecting to see, if anything, that's significantly different, not in the numbers specifically that we'll see from the president's budget, anything different in structure that you think that we'll see? And I'm not, again, not talking about priorities or what he's spending money on as opposed to not spending on, but just the way that the thing is put together. Do you think that there'll be a kind of a change in the way things are done there?
There's some points that the administration is making. So in the past years, we've had budgets that have actually left out important pieces of public policy. The war, for instance, was not budgeted for entirely. Passing something called the alternative minimum tax, which is this kind of backstop tax that we have that used to just be for the very wealthy, but it's not index for the inflation, so it's now hitting the middle class. We have a patch every year on that tax so it doesn't hurt as many people, but it's not included in the budget. So the president will say, well, I'm going to fix this, but in a revenue-neutral way. I'm going to find a way to pay for it. He doesn't. And so in the end, what we've had in the past years are budgets that left out a lot of important priorities and therefore weren't a very good story of the nation's finances. This White House is being very clear and arguing that this is very important, that they will include all of those types of issues. They will include patches for the alternative minimum tax, full funding for the war, budgeting for emergencies that we know will happen every year, national emergencies, you know, floods and natural disasters. And they will include in their budget baseline the assumption that the tax cuts from 2001 and 2003, which are all expiring at the end of the decade,
mm-hmm.
will go on and be made permanent. That's good. It's very transparent. It helps us see that those policies are there. But what they're also doing is kind of using it as an excuse to say, see, we're showing you all these policies, not actually trying to figure out how to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
In order to extend the tax cuts, for instance, or the AMT, those things cost, AMT costs almost $100 billion a year. The tax cuts cost hundreds of billions of dollars a year. What you'd really want is to say, listen, we are including them in our budget, and we are telling you how we will pay for them. They're doing the first part. That's different, and that's an improvement. They're not doing the second part, and that's what somebody like me, who sort of cares about responsible budgeting first and foremost, is really looking for.
I think that's very true. One of the things that I took out of the election was the fact that people were less concerned, at least at this point in our history, with the ideology than they are with just the fact that they want to understand exactly what it is that their government is doing. And so that's why the transparency message sold, and that's why the transparency action that's being taken, I think, will be greatly appreciated.
It really is important. I mean, government is so complicated. And sometimes when we say, what's the most important thing to do on tax policy or legal frameworks, and people say simplifying them, you know, you can go too far. Government is complex for a reason, but it's alienating in its complexity. And I think when there are reasonable opportunities to simplify the message and the way we communicate it to voters, it's critically important because, you know, I run a tax program and I can't figure out how to pay my taxes. There's something wrong with a system like that. There really is a problem of if you can't understand what government does, and yet this is a democracy that encourages, you know, high levels of participation. So I think this is not transforming democracy, but I do think national budgets need to include what's going to go on under each president, and it's important that they're going to do this. But again, it's not the big lift. The big lift is actually figuring out how they're going to pay for it.
Maya McGinnis is president of the Committee for a Responsible Budget and a director of fiscal policy at the New America Foundation. Maya, I've got a couple more budget questions to ask you when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a moment. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pleased to tell you that we have Maya McGinnis of the New America Foundation back on the phone. And Maya, I apologize for the little dysfunction that we had phone-wise.
I just thought you didn't like what I was saying.
No, absolutely not. And the proof of that is that we've got you back, and I appreciate your patience bearing with me. I wanted to ask you, the bane of a lot of CFOs' existences in the federal government the last couple of years has been the continuing resolutions that have been put up by Congress because they have not been able to get a formal finished budget done. We're looking at hopefully the end of that cycle is what it appears, what I'm reading about what the Obama administration. What have you seen in that area to maybe give our CFO people some hope?
Well, I'll tell you, the budget process itself is, if it's not dead, it's pretty darn broken. And for many years, there's so many shortcomings in the way that we do budgeting. First, we actually go many years without even having a budget in place. And most Americans probably wouldn't know it, though. As you point out, people who depend on government or work with government are well aware that they can't plan because they don't know what the budgets are going to be.
Yeah.
Beyond that, Congress spends so much of its time actually working and often failing to pass a budget, but so little of its time engaging in oversight. What programs are working? Are they the best programs or ways to achieve these goals? Are these goals for government? Kind of, if you're a public policy person, this is what I studied in graduate school, that's what you think of government as doing. But in the end, they have very little time to do that. And then the third point I would point out is, The budget is completely focused on the short term and sacrifices long term interests. And we focus on consumption over investment, or we spend $8 per senior and everyone for children. You know, there's just a lot of things in the budget that I think are at odds with what people would think is how the process should work.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, I'm kind of animated about this topic. Our group, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, has just launched a tremendous 2-year project with the Peter G. Peterson Foundation and the Pew Charitable Trust to have a budget reform commission, which is going to look at all of these issues. How do you make sure budgeting accounting makes sense? How do you focus on the long term? And just this thing that you're pointing out, that right now Congress is working on passing the bills that should have been passed by last September.
Yeah.
They never got to them till now. And that's just a real problem. You know, kids get in trouble if they don't hand their homework in on time. This is just... This does not meet the bare standard that we should be meeting.
Earlier this week, I played highlights of a hearing last week on the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2009. And when I first saw the notice of the hearing, I thought, wait a minute, that's not right.
Mm.
That's already done. Turns out it wasn't, and that's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about.
You know, nobody would like it if their boss said, yeah, we're going to change your salary, but we're not going to tell you till May. You know, it just doesn't work. And it's just, it should be unacceptable that we just don't get this stuff done. And it's no member of Congress's fault, per se. The process itself is failing to set up kind of the rules and norms that would actually make this kind of a functioning way of doing budgeting.
Well, it doesn't seem to be any, I guess penalty's not the right word, punishment's not the right word, but there's also no incentive for Congress to get it done. It doesn't really impact them one way or the other if the thing's done or not.
No, and it all boils down to politics, which so much of it does, which is if you think you're going to do better under the next administration, you want to drag your feet, which is what happened here. The Democrats wanted to pass the next budget under a Democratic president instead of a Republican president and risk having a lot of their bills vetoed and coming in at lower spending levels.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're looking at a budget that will spend a lot more, you know, when it's finally passed, this delayed budgeting portion, will spend a lot more than what the Bush administration had asked for. So it was sort of a political reason to wait until there was another person in the White House.
Well, I'm interested to hear about the effort that you're going to be working on with Pew and with the Peterson Foundation, and I'll look forward to having you come back and talk about
great.
As it develops.
Yeah, we're going to be asking for lots of outside input and asking for papers and outsiders getting involved. So thanks. We'd love to talk about it. I think it's going to be a really neat project.